With a child's glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move from to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me.
Teach me I am not my own. I am thine and thine alone. Thine to keep, to rule, to save from all sin that would enslave.
Loving signs employ in obedience all her joy. Ever knew that joy will be loving him who first loved me.
Teach me thus thy step to trace, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Loving him who first loved me.
Thank you, dear ones. And if any one of the little ones, mommies or daddy, or even our guests, would like to have opening prayer.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for keeping us safely through the night. Lord Jesus, thank you for those that are on the east side. Thank you for keeping us safely through the storm, dear Father God. I pray that you be with those families that were deeply affected by the storm, that lost lives and power and had damaged property. Lord Jesus, I pray that you put your healing hand upon all that are sick and afflicted, whether it be mentally, spiritually, physically. Dear Father, I pray that you said anything that you ask on your Sabbath day, if it be according to your perfect will, that you will grant it. I pray that you put your healing hands upon my mom, and please give her voice back and let her be able to be with us today and be able to read and sing as she loves to do. Please be with all the little ones that are sick, dear Father God, and can't really tell us exactly what is it that is aching them. Lord, please forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities. Thank you for having each and every one of us here. And for those that are not here, and for those that will be listening to the recording at a later time, and those that are on the phone, I pray for them as well. May you send your Holy Spirit to encamp around each and every one. Please open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our mind, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word, dear Father God. May you be with us and enlighten our spirit with the review, and be with us in the after study and the study that will come after. Please give each speaker your strength and your mercy to get through. And Lord, please give each listener the ability to go ahead and search for themselves what it is that is being taught, dear Father God. May you continue to bless us and keep us and guide us only in the way that you can, according to your precious love.
Name. Amen. Welcome to all our dear brethren that are joining us. Welcome Sister Karina, Sister Yi and Blue, Dad, Sister Ida, Brother Vic, and Janelle. Sabbath blessing, everyone. So to begin our study today, just keeping in mind Psalms 102, let us serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing, not only for the questions and answer, but also to glorify God for all that he has done for us during the week. So, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown this week? So before we hear the question, dear ones, let us take a few minutes to review what we have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled The Last Journey. From Galilee, part two in our storybook, The Sigh of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to follow up reading.
The Sigh of Ages, page 486. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the people refused to receive him because he was on his way to Jerusalem. Thus they interpreted as meaning that Christ showed a preference for the Jews, whom they hated with intense bitterness. Had he come to restore the temple and worship upon Mount Gerizim, they would gladly have received him. Next slide, please. But he was going to Jerusalem, and they would show him no hospitality. Little did they realize that they were turning from their doors the best gift of heaven. Jesus invited men to receive him. He asked favors at their hands, that he might come near to them, to bestow the richest blessings. For every favor manifested toward him, he requited a more precious grace. But all was lost to the Samaritans because of their prejudice and bigotry. From the Sigh of Ages, 486, paragraph 3, amen.
The Sigh of Ages, 487, paragraph 3. They were killed on the execution because James and John had been so rudely treated by the Samaritans, whom he was honoring by his presence. They had recently been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and had seen him glorified by God and honored by Moses and Elijah. This manifest dishonor on the part of the Samaritans should not, they thought, be passed over without marked punishment. Desire Age, page 187, paragraph 1.
Coming to Christ, they reported to him the words of the people telling him that they had even refused to give him a night's lodging. They thought that a grievous wrong had been done him, and seeing the Mount Carmel and distance where Elijah had slain the false prophets, they said, "Wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did?" They were surprised to see that Jesus was pained by their words, and still more surprised as his rebuke fell upon their ears. "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." And he went to another village. Desire of Ages, page 487, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 487. There is no part of Christ's mission to him. It is Satan, and men actuated by his spirit that seek to compel his conscience. Under a pretense of zeal for righteousness, men who are confederate with evil angels bring suffering upon their fellow men in order to convert them to their ideas of religion. But Christ is ever showing mercy, ever seeking to win by the revealing of his love. Next slide, please. Desire of Ages, page 487. Continuing, he can admit no rival in the soul, nor accept of partial service, but he desires only voluntary service, the willing surrender of the heart under the constraint of love. There can be no more conclusive evidence that we possess the spirit of Satan than the disposition to hurt and destroy those who do not appreciate our work, or who act contrary to our ideas. Desire of Ages, 487, paragraph 3.
Continue. Every human being in body, soul, and spirit is a property of God. Christ died to redeem all. Nothing can be more offensive to God than for men, through religious bigotry, to bring suffering upon those who are the purchased of the Savior's blood. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont,
he taught them again. Mark chapter 10, verse 1, Desire of Ages, page 488, paragraph 2. A considerable part of the closing months of Christ's ministry was spent in Perea, the province on the farther side of Jordan from Judea. Here the multitude thronged his steps as in his early ministry in Galilee, and much of his former teaching was repeated. Desire of Ages, page 488, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 488. As he had sent out the 12, so he appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Luke 10:1. These disciples had been for some time with him in training for their work. When the 12 were sent out on their first separate mission, other disciples accompanied Jesus in his journey through Galilee. Thus they had the privilege of intimate association with him and direct personal instruction. Now this larger number also were to go forth on a separate mission. Desire of Ages 48, paragraph 4.
The directions to the 70 were similar to those that had been given to the 12, but the command to the 12 not to enter into any city of the Gentiles or of the Samaritans was not given to the 70. Though Christ had just been repulsed by the Samaritans, his love toward them was unchanged. When the 70 went forth in his name, they visited first of all the city of Samaria. Desire of Ages, page 488, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. So this is the time, dear ones, that we ask the Holy Spirit to move your little hearts and all the elders and the brothers and sisters to be able to listen, that we may be able to help the little ones and also ourselves to learn. So what have we learned and ways I have grown? If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests have any question for the slides that have just been reviewed and bubble up. The first question is, why were the 12 not visit the Gentiles or the Samaritans? The 12 later did come to Samaritan, but the Lord had actually gave that commission to the 70. The 70 went first, and then after, the disciple went later, because that was one of the places that they had actually received the Lord so harshly. So at that time, the Lord had made the 70 to go to the Samaritan first. And then after, later, you're going to read that later the disciple also, in their time, had actually passed through Samaritan as well.
Amen. Amen. The gospel was to go to the Jews all the way until Stephen was stoned in AD 34. And then after that time, the gospel was to go worldwide. So the Jews were given the first opportunity to receive the gospel. And when they flatly rejected Christ and then 3.5 years later rejected the messengers of Christ or the disciples of Christ, their cup of probation was closed. For the nation, but not for every individual in the nation. And then the gospel went worldwide without restrictions.
And there is a second question. Sometimes it is very hard not to get angry when we see the innocent being treated unjustly. How are we to combat the feeling of wanting to defend them? Well, this question, the only way that I can be able to best glorify God is that as Christians, we have to try our best to be able to place our feeling and our emotion under the control of the Spirit, because we have a responsibility. Even though that we are human and we do have fallen nature, we have to always think first about the person's soul. Some situations are very trying, but that's the reason we have to try to jot up a prayer at the time so the Lord will help us, that He will be able to do the work in us instead of ourselves. If we do it ourselves, we are going to find a way to be able to retaliate by giving the same treatment and emotion. As you can see, the disciples were actually struggling with that. But the Lord knew where their heart was. But also He had to let them recognize that the way how they handle it, they can handle the work more than they will actually help it. So we as believers, sometimes we have to realize that some people may not know the Word of God, but much is given, much required. Therefore, we have to not to hold on upon our own strength, but to ask the Lord to help us in that trying time. I am personally one of the people that in my natural nature, when I was in the world, I was very impulsive. Basically, anytime when something was done, I right away used to react towards it. Now it seems like a lot of people will say I became a coward. Not necessarily a coward, but I realized that the Lord is the one that died for each and every one of us. And we need to be able to treat them as if Christ was the one in us treating them. We have to separate our personal feeling and to be able to pray and ask the Lord to help us with it. This is what I can share, but then there's our brothers and sisters, they can be able to relate to the question.
Thank you, dear sister. And it's true. We have to separate personal feelings from the truth so that we're acting upon the principles of truth and righteousness and not upon selfish motives or unrighteous principles. Now, there's a time to act and a time to refrain from acting, you know, as we're told in Ecclesiastes 3. And when we're dealing with the innocent or with what the Bible terms the fatherless or widows and et cetera, that there's a time to act in defending them from unjust actions. Psalms 82, 3 and 4 says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So there's a time to act, and then there's a time not to act. And it just depends on the situation. I mean, if you see someone who is, well, you've heard the term Bible thumpers, where they take the scriptures and they use them as a battering ram to try and break down all opposition. So the individuals themselves really don't know what to believe, but they're forced to believe a particular way. That's the time in which action, I believe, should be taken. But, of course, it needs to be under the direction of the Holy Spirit, exactly what is to be said, what action is to be taken, how to respond, when to remain silent. But when you see individuals fighting against the truth and you choose to remain silent, then I believe that is a wrong committed, because you knew the side of truth and you did not raise your voice on that side, but you remained quiet and thus allowed the opposers of the truth to gain an advantage. So again, there is a time to rise up and speak and let your position be known, and then there is a time to remain silent. But in all cases, we need to make sure that self is hid in Christ, so that Christ and His truth alone may be revealed.
Amen. This is the Christina. I believe Layla had a question or she wanted to share something. Is it possible that you can be able to ask her so she will not be left unheard? So I will bubble down to give the chance. There is a meaning for the phrase that was used, Bible thumper. An evangelist or other person who quotes the Bible frequently, especially as means of exhortation or rebuke. Okay, here you go.
All I wanted was to read.
I was just putting that in the room. I believe she thought that there was a question that was asked as if we were conducting the regular study, and so she wanted to read the answer. That's what the Lord impressed upon my heart, though.
Okay, meanwhile, that dear brethren are preparing their minds to be able to ask or even share, I would like to touch upon a little homework that our dear sister Yi had asked concerning something that we had discussed. Our dear sister Joan had gave information towards it, but she says that if we can be able to do a little bit of research concerning, was Haman healing from his fate or the maidens? And I would like to touch upon that. This is going to be based on 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 through 14. I will place it in the room. And if Layla, if you want to read it, you will have a little bit of material to read. So let me place it in the room meanwhile. If anyone would like to also share the reading, you can bubble up as well. I'm just going to place it little by little, okay? This one is taken from Prophets and Kings, page 249, paragraph 2.
Naaman's servants entreated him to carry out Elisha's direction. If the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, they urge, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? The faith of Naaman was being tested, amen, while pride struggled for the mastery. But faith conquered, and the haughty Syrian yielded his pride of heart and bowed in submission to the revealed will of Jehovah.
Seven times he dipped himself in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. His faith was honored. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
So this is the based on what we have read. It was based on Naaman's faith. He had to hear. He first heard the word by the prophet mentioning what he should do, even though that he was tested and he went away displeased. He still had the other servants trying to be able to reason with him, and later he just gave himself to the instruction. So faith coming by hearing the word of God, but faith without work is dead. So therefore he heard the instruction, and when he submitted to the instruction of God through his prophet, and also even the instrumentalities of the servants that was used as well, he was able to become obedient, and by his faith he was healed. If there's any questions that would like to be able to be touched upon, if there is no other question, we are going to proceed. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, have any scripture song, hymns that would like to share, bubble up.
I have a scripture song. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, even our faith. And this is the victory, 1 John 5:4, even our faith, even our faith.
Amen. What a beautiful song, Elder Rob. Well, dear ones, this will conclude our review section of our study from last Sabbath. And this is the section that we are going to also review the story time. And our dear brother Dick will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. Let us recap or review our story from last week. And if any of you have any questions, stick them in the chat here and we'll see if we can't answer them. Our verse last week was, my son, if sinners entice thee, remember what entice means? To ask you to join them in sin, consent thou not. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Proverbs 1:10-16. Now, there was a place in here, taking advantage of one. This is something that a lot of people like to do. In this day and age, they call it business, but I think God has a different name for it. To take advantage of someone, this means you do things that benefit yourself to someone else's loss. This is called by God greed, but people call it good business. When we do something to take advantage of others, it makes God frown. And you don't want God's frown. People that God frowns on are the lost. This also means that the first time somebody suggests you join them in doing something wrong, you say, absolutely not. God's word says not to do that. And that's the way we should answer. If you don't have a Bible verse to say like Jesus did, it is written, and then quote a Bible verse, you must at least say, no, I can't do that. God does not allow it. Now, do you remember that little chorus I sang for you last week? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. If you're a Christian, don't be ashamed to say so. Now, are you saying that I did such a good job last week explaining this verse and reading in the reading of the story that you have no questions? Wow. Somebody's going to have to raise my salary if I'm that good. Well, I don't do it for salary. I do it to help out. And anytime you do have questions, share them with us, and we'll see what we can do. What's this? Anybody has a story, share yours. Okay. And I'll return the bubble to someone else.
If anybody, praise the Lord, if anybody, any of the little ones, mommies or daddy, had any experiences this week or last week, if you have a testimony, if you have a story, please, dear one, share it, that we can also be blessed by what the Lord has done with you in your walk. Babala. If you do have, and maybe you shy and you will not want to take the mic, you can also send it in an email and we can have you read it or someone read it. But we would like to be blessed as well, dear ones. So next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Last Journey from Galilee in our study book, The Five Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddy, or even our guests, would like to close with prayer, babala. If we can all bow our heads and our hearts as we come fully before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, Lord, to give You thanks and praises, we want to thank You, Lord, for giving us the privilege to have the time that we can sit and sup with You, Father. Father, taking into consideration, be with Brother Joel Nahate, dear Lord, in the passing of his grandpapa. Father, may You give comfort. May You also give the word in season for those that are having a hard time with the loss, dear ones. Father, I also pray that You can be able to bless each of the little ones and give them the courage as well, Father, that they can be able to water and be watered in these moments that we need to be able to help as much as we can. Father, to share our faith and to develop the skills that we need, Father, as we go out and share our faith as well. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit. May you bless our Sabbath, Father Jesus, and give us readiness of heart and mind, Father, and an open heart to receive the message that will be shared today. Forgive us for our sins once more and our shortcomings. Help us to be able to be there for all those that are in need, Father, especially those that are sick. We thank you and we love you. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So next Sabbath, dear one, that will be March 10, 2018, we will continue with our lesson with part 3 of chapter 53, The Last Journey from Galilee. We hope and pray that you were blessed, and we're looking forward, dear ones, to hear from you in the future. God bless each and every one of you. May you have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones.